It's been a few Sundays now that we hear Jesus and the gospel speaking in parables, which are stories, comparisons that, and always to present, always beginning saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. And they're all taken from chapter 13 in the Gospel of Matthew. But we heard a few Sundays ago, three Sundays ago, if I'm not mistaken, saying it's like the sower who went sowing the seed. You know, some fell on the ground, some among thorns and the rocks, and on good ground. Then we saw the kingdom of heaven is like, again, the sower who sowed good seed on his field. Then came the enemy at night and sowed weeds. You know, they all grew together. And he said, wait until the harvest so we can separate the weeds and the good wheat. And then we also heard that it's like a seed of a mustard seed. It's so small, but it grows and becomes a tree. Or like the yeast that is mixed in a measure of flour, you know, to make a bread. And again today, the kingdom of heaven, three comparisons. What is the kingdom of heaven? We talk so much and we say, and perhaps for some of us is the idea, some people, we have the idea of the kingdom of heaven as only the afterlife. Or the paradise is the kingdom of heaven. Here we have kingdoms on earth, but they are not the kingdom of heaven. In a sense, yes, the kingdom of heaven will be complete in heaven. And in heaven, we don't mean heaven only as a place, a physical place, but as a condition, as the possibilities of that kingdom to become a reality. Yet, we also know that when Jesus came into the world, he inaugurated the kingdom of heaven while he was here. I mean, with Jesus coming, the kingdom of heaven begins to be a reality. So it's not something that is only away in the future. It is present now. It is here, but not yet complete. How do we know that the kingdom of heaven is not yet complete? Because we live in a world that the weed and the wheat are all mixed together. We live in a time that there is so much goodness, and the goodness is a sign of this kingdom of heaven, yet there is still so much to accomplish. There is still so much in our hearts that is not, you know, according to the kingdom of heaven. So today, Jesus presents very small, you know, saying the kingdom of heaven is such a value that we give up anything we have. And that's, as again I say, is not an idea of looking just in the afterlife. It says it's like one who finds a treasure. That's not something very common. Now we see that in the literature, in stories and the tales, and the treasure island, and people go and looking for treasures and this and that. Well, in Jesus' time, you know, people, first of all, perhaps they didn't have much of a treasure, but whoever had something, and in a time when war and people would come and invade and other people, the first thing they would look is for the riches to carry, you know, with them, the riches that they would find. So the safest way was, you know, maybe dig a hole and in your property and hide it. And then you make a map, you know, 10 feet to the east, you know, I don't know how many feet, you know, kind of, well, that's my saying. I don't know if they would make a map, but they were trying to hide, and so they would know it. And one day they would be back and get that treasure. And according to what I was reading, it's not the one who buried who was the owner, was the one who owns the property. That's why the parable says, the one who finds would sell everything he or she has, and then will buy that property, so that in that property the treasure will be indeed his. Meaning, the kingdom is much valuable than anything one could have. Or the merchant for pearls, that you find a good one, that he will invest everything he has to buy that pearl. What is that value? And I think this is questioning us. What is of value in our lives? What is really important or essential for us? What is that drives us, you know, in our lives to say how good is it is to be living, you know, how beautiful it is? It cannot be, you know, if we put our trust, if we put all our efforts in things just to build what we can see, material things, you know, we might say, oh, the goal in my life is to be the richest as I could be. You know, we're going to see that there is no limit for that. We might start, the goal for my house is, you know, for my life is to have a house, and then we build a house. Then it's to have one car in the garage, and then we have it. And then we say, no, I need two cars. And then we have two cars. And then the house is kind of small, so we need a second one or a bigger one. And then the car gets old. Well, we need a new one, and we need a better one. We need, you know, and we see there is no limit for that. Because what we search in life, indeed, that will give meaning, is not out there. Some of the things outside, they can help us. But until we find the true treasure of faith, until we see that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is much more than owning things or achieving even all the successes that we can achieve, all the accomplishment, which they're not bad. They're also a sign of God's grace to us. And the intelligence that God has given us. So they are not, I'm not saying that they are bad, but we cannot trust only in that. And it's beautiful because the first reading today talks about that. Solomon, King David's son, was very young when he became the king of Israel. And we see that when God asked him, in a dream, ask for anything. And he said, Lord, give me an understanding heart that will be able to discern right from wrong. And God granted him that. Just to say, he said, oh, you didn't, being a king, you could have asked for power, for gold and riches, for treasures, yet he asked for an understanding heart. I think he understood, you know, Solomon lived way, way before, centuries before Jesus was born. But even there, we can see the seeds that he knew what was essential in life. As we gather here, we are here because we want to follow that what is essential. When I mean it is essential means that we find such joy in the treasure of faith that this will be, you know, the guiding force in our lives. It's not that, okay, I have an hour on my Sunday schedule, and that hour I will give to the Lord, and that's my obligation. And then, okay, I'll be back in a week. It's more than that when we find that it is essential. It's more than that because what we nourish ourselves in here, we will carry on to our daily lives. So the way we live our lives, our priorities, our choices, will all reflect the treasure of the kingdom of heaven in our own lives. If it means that this treasure will call us to do good things in life, that good things that I want that will happen to me, I'll be the one, the instrument, making sure that I will give those good things to my family, in my work, in my circle of friends, even to strangers whom perhaps I don't know who they are. So what Jesus is preaching to his disciples and those who are listening to him, talking in so different ways of the kingdom of heaven, is telling us, what is the treasure in your life? What is that fine, special pearl that you say, yes, this is worthy buying? And here we're not talking about monetary issues. We're talking about our life issues. Those choices that are fundamental choices. Because on these, we will harvest the happiness or frustrations in life. And the happiness will come when we find that treasure. Even when, for many reasons, we cannot achieve our dreams of all the riches here on earth, we'll see that will become a second plan. Because once we have found the true treasure, that won't be that important. The most important is that treasure of faith, that kingdom of heaven that is present here already on earth. And we want to be part of that. We want to be in that. But right now, what Jesus is calling us is to help in the building of that kingdom. We all can become instruments. If we have discovered that treasure, we are the ones to show the world that our faith and our principles and the commandments we follow will help the world also to find the true meaning, the true happiness, that indeed only those who have found that treasure will experience. And God wants us, each one of us and all his creatures, to experience that. So may we also always be motivated with enthusiasm to bring the kingdom about, being instruments of finding that treasure, whether we seek for it or whether we just found it as the one who found that treasure. And the world indeed will be a better place because the kingdom of heaven will become more and more a presence in our midst.